Life of the Girlfriend with Christine Marie and Julie.
Hello, Julie.
Hey, Christine Marie. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm doing great.
Awesome.
I'm doing awesome.
Your life is good.
Really?
Your life is great. You keep reminding yourself that, and then the bullshit that comes out of it is
I just got to keep telling myself that.
Yeah. You said to me, maybe we can edit this a little bit. And the first thing I do is I cough up a big loogie.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, that's, you know, that's my word of the week.
Loogie?
Editing.
Oh. Editing.
Here's where it comes in. Well, first of all, we were a fan of the condo method, right?
Yes.
And now I'm a friend of the THE show, the Home Edit, EDIT.
Right.
And they're even more into it in terms of, you know, decluttering and a place for everything. And it's wild to see how these young women come in and just organize the shit out of stuff.
Right.
And they go into like Stars homes. And you know what? I'm telling you, Stars are no better than us in terms of their clutter.
Oh, for sure.
It's just more expensive clutter.
And do you think that they hire these? I have not seen the show, so I don't know.
You but should see it.
Do they hire these people to come in and boss them around? Because in the real world, they're treated with kid gloves.
No, these people come in and they show them a room or a closet or a kitchen,
right?
And then they say, "Go for it."
Okay.
And then they say, "Well, how much permission do we have to go for it?"
Right, right.
And then it gets a little, it's kind of like hoarders in that respect, because they're real brave at first.
Okay.
And then when you're taking away their oven mitts or whatever, and they're like, "Oh, those were great grannies," and that's got sentimental value. And then they go, "Oh, sentimental value? Those go in a box called sentimental
value."
Yeah. Because it has no place in, you know, filling up your kitchen, you know.
Unless you're using it. Yeah.
Yeah. And, and really, some people have four or five junk drawers.
Yeah.
You know, you think, we've got one in our kitchen.
We've got, yes, we do.
And how many times have I cleaned that sucker out?
You clean it out, I would say quarterly.
Yeah.
I think that sounds like a good investment.
And, we just cleaned the garage out and to move the golf cart in. And the first thing I see when I go out there the next morning is Dad's got two pieces of trucking stuff on the back seat of the golf cart.
I know. Yeah. And I saw that, and when I was taking the trash out, and I thought, oh, please, dear Lord, let me move this so Mom doesn't see it.
I love it that your first reaction is not like, oh, my God, he's already doing that. It's like, he's doing it, but don't let Mom see it.
Right. Yeah. I don't either, because I don't know why I feel I need to, to kit glove you, you know, like, oh, no, you know, but why not? Right. Isn't it sweet to know that you've got family members that have your back that are willing to, you know, roll out the red carpet for you?
Is that really what you're doing?
We're
hiding the black carpet.
Yes. Well, I'm removing all the dust from the carpet as you're walking or like distracting you. Look over here. Not over here.
Well, that's our usual MO, because if we're riding down the street and you have better eyes than me and you see a dead animal, you'll go, "Oh, Mom, by the way, look over there to the right. Look at that horse." I'll turn and I go, "I don't see a horse." That's okay. And then I missed it. I missed the carnage.
It was a dead horse on the road.
So I'm used to you, steering me in the opposite direction of what I'm really supposed to see.
Well, that is interesting, because I will play that game with Doug, because I'm also the girl that will narrate my driving to you.
You do.
Like, slowing down faster than usual.
Because in case I have to hold on to something.
Yes. And also, too, if I start to brake a little faster than usual, your immediate reaction is, What's going on?
Because my head is usually buried in my iPad.
Exactly. So how dare you millennial? That's the truth. Listening to some.
But I do know that you do narrate every single thing you do in the car as you're driving.
Yes, making a left turn.
Yeah.
Making a right turn.
And Doug doesn't understand it.
No, because I can't turn it off then. If I'm driving and I'm with Doug and I'm narrating, he's like, "You don't have to tell me what's going on. I know that you're turning left." And then he'll, he thinks it's funny initially. When I first started doing it, he thought it was hysterical years ago.
Yeah.
And then it was just like, let's stop this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, we can stop about you driving, but then you drive horribly. I do think I think he drives horribly.
Yeah.
I don't know why. And
I think he's probably an aggressive driver.
He is an aggressive driver.
Well, actually, he's more passive aggressive.
And since I'm a person that has a professional driver's license, I don't drive aggressively at all.
A PDL?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'm a PDL. Yeah. I don't want to use a show. I felt bad because I think sometimes I use a show to bitch about Douglas sometimes.
Oh, you feel guilty about that?
I just feel like, am I breaking bad? And then I go, no, I'm not.
No, you're not.
Because honestly,
we could talk really bad about him.
Yeah, but I've got a place to jump. I've got to have a safe place.
Yes.
This is my safe place to do this. Yes,
because you know he's never listened to your show.
And he will not listen to this show.
In 12 years.
Yeah, exactly. he really. I think I go, I think I asked him. I said, how come you don't listen to my show? He goes, well, I don't even know how to get to it. I mean, like on iTunes, you mean? Like you can't go there to our podcast? And he goes, oh, I guess I could. I'm like, oh, no, don't worry.
No worries.
No worries.
Please don't.
Yeah. You know.
Well, so Andrea, you talked about Doug. I'm going to talk about your father.
Sure.
Normano.
He likes it when we talk about him, good or bad.
He
ugly.
Loves it.
Yes.
Well, this morning you mentioned that the time that he came home, he was at a car wash, and somehow because he's on these blood thinners and stuff, his skin on his hands is just extremely thin, and he was washing the truck, and he got the hello. Is that Normano?
Continue.
Well, you talked about Douglas. So I'm going to talk about Normano.
Okay.
Your father. Well, you mentioned this morning that when he had that, when he was at the truck wash, and he accidentally put the actual water wand on his hand, and it like pierced his hand because his skin on his hand is so thin from all his blood thinners that his hand blew up like this huge glove, you know, that you put, like when you put a glove over your head and blow into it like that.
Like, and then what's the guy's name?
Yeah, Howie Mandel.
Howie Mandel.
Yeah, yeah. And when he came home, he called you over and he said, look, I don't want you to, his hand was all bandied. He went to the fire department or something, and he said, don't tell your mother,
Right.
And so
we have a lot of discussions. We have, dad and I go, don't tell your mother.
Yeah. So you walk in and you go, mom. Yeah. Yeah. Dad's okay. From what, And so then you tell me he's got a bandage on his hand and this is what happened.
Yes.
So I was remembering that when yesterday we were picking him up at the truck stop.
Yeah.
And I was once again looking at realtor.com on my iPad. But he goes around to the back of the van, lifts up the hood, and he's saying something, but he has the keys to the truck in his mouth. I did not know this.
Right.
But I'm always got one ear, mom. You've got either one ear open, even though you're something else. And Norm says, hey, mom, how are you doing today? I go, oh, shit. What the hell's wrong with him now?
Yes.
Because it is sounded like...
That's not how you said it, though. No, it's not. You were like, what's wrong with your father? What's wrong with your father? I'm like, what's going on? I go, mom, he just has keys in his mouth.
Sounded like he had stroked out.
It did. It did. He just has keys in his mouth.
Mom, how are you? Yeah.
So you're always on high alert.
I am.
I'm like, okay, what's going on? What's this about?
It's like high alert. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, what?
And so I was thinking when I was listening to Dax Shepard this week, he was talking about, because I'm really a fan of his now.
Right.
We were listening to David, his talk on David Icke.
Yes.
The
which I know him as David Icke.
Let's call him David Icke. Anyway.
I think everybody knows him as David Icke.
Yeah.
But it's David Icke.
But you had informed me that you had heard that he edits his show.
Yes.
And I was really surprised to hear that. And you said he edits his show because he has a tendency to go on and on.
Right.
And I'm like, well, you and Dax, number one, have something in common.
Yay! Yeah.
But the fact that he edits his show was...
Yes.
extremely valuable to me.
Realize he's not editing the show.
No.
He's got his little helper.
His minions.
His minions edit the show. His partner.
Yeah.
Monica.
But here's again is the editing word.
Yes.
So we've got the home edit.
Yes.
Which is the, you know, the word of the week.
Oh, I see.
Edit the show. Yes.
Where last week was all about corn. This week's all about editing.
Editing.
Yes.
But Dad, I have tried to turn Dad onto Dax.
Yeah.
You know, and Dad has heard some things.
Right.
But we were finishing up, you and I were, this 2-hour lecture on Carl Jung's theory of...
Some light
listening. Just a little light listening on Carl Jung and his theory and archetypes, and was fascinating by Jordan Peterson. So I had mentioned to Norm, you know, on the road, if you have a chance... That's also something you might listen to. So Norm comes in and informs me that he has listened to Dak and Gordon.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who the hell is he listening to?
Dak and Gordon.
And I get a couple of beats.
Yeah.
And then I realize he's talking about Dax and Jordan.
Yes.
But for Norm.
Dak and Gordon. And then he thinks
it's
he's
kind of
so
like
cute.
Adorable. Simon and Garfunkel.
Yeah. Exactly. Or Guyman and Zorfunkel.
But there, I'm sure there's like, there's more words to this editing thing. And another thing.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you on that because I listened to our show last week. And afterwards, I thought to myself, I may be a little tired of hearing my own voice.
I know. And then you said to me, Mom, you're going to have to talk more. I'm like, no.
And then I reboot because the true reason why I believe people should do podcasts, because everybody has a podcast. So, I mean, you're going to have people who are successful that are like Dax. You know, they're already successful, whatever.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking you're going to make $1 million off your podcast, let's back it up a little bit.
There's only Joe Rogan.
Right. And he has millions. He took them all. But
he is the one percenter.
Right. But it is, I frame my week from this podcast, and I love it.
Yeah.
It is one of the greatest things in my life that I enjoy doing.
Yes. We don't give it up because we enjoy it.
I enjoy it.
We have joy.
Exactly. Other, you know, and so like today you said, I said, Mom, I'm a little tired of hearing my voice. But one way to stop that, I could just edit myself from not listening to the podcast.
Just don't listen to your voice again.
Just don't listen to it. I don't get as much joy from listening to it as I do from saying it.
Well, you know, people have stopped us and they go, oh, I love your, and they don't say podcast.
No.
They say, I love your music.
Yeah.
To your podcast.
Yeah.
And I go, well, that's it because we're just the bookends or is the music.
Yes.
We just are we're the cream in the Oreo cookie.
But I love the fact that that's how we want. We want you guys to leave feeling good and start off feeling good.
That's right.
Well, our song,
it starts out back in France in the 60s.
Yes.
It was all so wonderful.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to go, you think I'm just singing this for no reason?
No, I don't. I'm
going to connect this.
Okay.
I am watching on Netflix, The Queen's Gambit.
Got it. Yes, you are.
And it's
about
a girl.
Who recommended it to you, though?
I don't know. Somebody that's always in my ear.
Yes.
Somebody said, you need to watch this, Mom. Really? Do I have to? I'm telling you, start watching it. And then, of course, I did, and I love it, of course. But it is about a young redheaded girl back in the 60s.
Yes.
Which was in France.
Yeah.
It starts out. But anyway, but it's kind of cool because she was kind of a child genius.
Like yourself.
Kind of my, and was interesting because all the classes that she's good at, you get to leave, and what do?
Clean the erasers.
You go down in the basement or out in the schoolyard, and you go clean the erasers.
Yes.
I spent most of my grade school years cleaning erasers.
So, like, teachers were like, do your homework, and once you're done early, instead of enhancing your knowledge, if you're a girl, go downstairs and clean the erasers.
Yes.
Like, there's no real upside to, like, getting your work done early or being smarter.
No,
Guess what? Yeah. We're going to train you to be a really good maid.
And, of course, at 8 years old, this girl is hooked on tranquilizers.
Yes.
Much like my own story.
Well, that's true. I don't, okay, tranks were popular in the 60s.
Yes.
And they were popular in the 70s. I don't think people use the word tranquilizer anymore.
No. What do they use?
I don't know.
Serotonin uptakers?
I don't know. Yes. Something a little more fancier than that.
Yeah.
But I remember the 70s.
Do you now?
I do. Very little as a kid. You know, like... being the culture people talk about the heck of having a trank.
Right.
I mean, okay. I need a tranquilizer.
Yeah,
I need
another trank.
A little take something to take the edge off.
Yeah.
You know.
It's just a trank.
Everybody
a trank
just has
edibles. And a drink.
Exactly.
It just warms you up.
Exactly. Yeah. So how are you enjoying Queen's Gambit?
I'm absolutely loving it because I see myself in this girl, even though she's in it. Yeah. But here's the thing. This is a Netflix original series.
Yeah.
And I'm on hour three, I guess. But here's what I have noticed: several editing cuts. Mm-hmm. You know, where the screen shifts because you've edited.
Yeah,
and I am like, oh my God, Julie, you in our Christmas movies and our movies that we've made for the 48-hour.
Yeah,
I mean, what do we have? 6 or 7 movies down
yes,
the can.
We do.
You do a much better editing job than the Queen's Gambit. I mean, I absolutely see. Well, maybe I don't see where the good edits are. But where the poor editing is,
right.
I absolutely see it.
Yes.
So that's another editing word.
Editing word.
Word of the week.
Okay, edit. I like how
So I'm not saying that I'm not enjoying it, but it's an additional kind of a like a little bonus to as I'm involved in this show to see where they edit.
Well, it's funny when you start getting okay, like when you've built your own house, like if you're a person that always buys homes that are already built, but like you've built homes.
Yeah.
So when you see home building shows, you see them with a different eye. We've made
Absolutely.
Movies.
Yeah.
Yes, through our iPad, and I've edited it yeah. with Movie Maker, but still, we've done movie. We've had music. So
yes.
when you see things, you do see them with a different eye.
Yes.
And I'm always like, wow, thank God for drones, because I'm kidding. We wouldn't have half the shots we would have now. And so I'm aware of that, too. And it's fun to see where these professionals, in quotation marks, because sometimes I just want to call myself a professional.
I love it. You know, the
I wish you would just pay
in
me
quotation
for it.
Marks.
Yeah, just pay it me for it, then I can call myself a professional.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm
like
an
you
editor.
Just professional driver's license.
Yes, exactly. You know,
you
so
just said that today.
Yeah, but I'm enjoying the Queen's Gambit because it really feels like a true culture shock, a culture war.
SOL.
Yeah,
slice of life
and a slice of life. But this idea that before the 60s, mm-hmm. I mean, women really struggled to have an identity.
Yeah.
I mean.
And also, it doesn't throw that in your face.
No, not at all.
You know?
No, but, you're but right. It's not like, it doesn't throw it in
my
face.
Grandparents dropped me off at an orphanage when I was about 6.
Yes.
Just for the hell of it.
Yeah, to make sure they realize they could.
So it's that they. It's like when you break a horse.
Yes.
This is exactly what happened.
Right.
They drove me to St. Louis. The orphanage was there. They made me get out of the car with my little
yes.
suitcase.
Yes.
And then pulled away.
Yes.
Dropped me off at the front door of the orphanage.
Yes.
These are things you don't forget.
No. Thank God you never forgot them, so we never had to do them. You didn't. There are some kids that take that experience and turn into adulthood and go, I can't wait to have my own children so I can perpetrate the same crime.
Right.
You know, like, because
right.
it will be lovely to do that to my children.
Right.
And then there are other parents like you who go, I will never, ever, quote unquote, drop my kid off at the age of 5 at an orphanage
right.
to prove a point,
right.
which is I can do it.
Yeah.
Or I will never, never, never attempt to strangle my children because they're not paying attention.
Right, exactly.
Like, you know, I will never put hands around their neck.
Right.
So, but other people would go, I cannot wait to have my own kids because I want, you know, then I could at least, you know, the power would have changed.
The closest thing I think I ever did was to Greg, and I bought this huge suitcase
yes.
for 25 cents at a yard sale.
Yes.
And I just sort of waited around for the day that Greg was like, he's a little kid, obviously.
Right.
But I'm leaving home. And he's like 3 or 4.
And you knew this about your son. He was a leaver-homer.
He even as a kid, if we put him in a pen,
yeah,
he'd climb out.
Yeah.
We made a fence.
Yeah.
He'd climb out of that.
Yeah.
He was always, he just couldn't wait to leave.
And at the time, you just felt like having him tied to you was not an appropriate situation. Even though I've seen that with adults,
yeah.
I've seen.
Yeah.
And I go, I have no judgment on that because I'm like, oh, I get you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get you. That kid's
around. Someday you and I will be tied together. Yeah.
Tethered to each other. Mom's a runner.
We don't
She's
know.
A runner.
We don't know who's going to lead who.
One of us will be a runner.
Who's trying to leave who.
But it will not happen. But you, yes. You
so, did. Yeah, so the day that Greg
okay.
wanted to.
Okay, you got to cough a little bit. I'll talk about this story. Cause I
Sorry
think
about
you,
this.
No, it's okay.
We're just doing the show so early.
You had said. Well, I like how you never edited yourself out. I'll say that because here you see this, you know, we lived in an apartment or a condo at that time. And
right.
you see a huge suitcase. And I right. know this suitcase well. We had it for many years.
Yeah.
But you're thinking, oh, this is the one I will use for Gregory.
Yes.
Now, my also thought was because we used to play hide and seek as family. Mm-hmm. And now, Daddy would always have me because you would always edit me out. You'd always pick Gregory to be the hide and seeker.
Right.
Because you know that he would be game to hide anywhere
Any place,
you put him.
Right.
Like you, I know that you hit him in that same suitcase.
Right.
I also know that you hit him on top of blinds.
Right.
Because he was low.
In like, a pillowcase.
Yes. You would hide him anywhere. Normano, first off, I wouldn't be able to do it.
No.
He was like, how about hiding here? I'm like, no, Daddy, don't make me hide there. He's like, all right, we're going to lose. I don't care, Daddy. Don't make me hide there. I'll just hide behind the door. They'll never find me behind the door. So, yes, Gregory then one day goes, yes, hey.
I think I'm leaving home.
Think I'm leaving home.
Yeah, so
gonna become a hobo.
We went.
Why not?
We went and we packed it. He packed his own clothes.
Yeah.
As to which ones he was going to take along.
Yeah.
Packed it in the suitcase.
Yeah.
And finally, I think it was around 4:30 in the afternoon that he got it all together. I think I gave him a little bit of change.
Oh, good for you. That's nice.
We sent him out the front door, and we sat down at on the stoop, which
yeah.
we did. And the old lady that lived above us at the time, she was coming home from work.
Yeah.
And
she's probably 45.
Yeah. I don't know, but yeah. And she was coming home from work, and she sees Greg walking out from the condo with this huge suitcase, just dragging it. And she's like, she stoops down. She goes, oh, what's going on? He goes, oh, I'm leaving home. Like, you are.
And your devious plan worked.
Yeah.
Because I know what you wanted. You wanted to feel the power.
Yeah.
Of like leaving home.
Right.
Like, little dude, you can leave home anytime
yeah.
you want to.
Yeah.
You're taking your shit with you.
Yeah.
You're not leaving.
You're like a turtle. You're yeah. not going to go without your shell.
Yeah. You're taking your stuff with you. You're taking all of it with you. You're not leaving it behind. Who do you think I am? A storage unit? No.
And here's 50 cents.
Yeah.
Probably not that much at the time.
Exactly. Well, yeah. It worked out. You probably gave him a couple nickels. But he didn't leave.
No.
He came back. I remember one time, this is hysterical. Gregory was an interesting kid. We left him alone for the first time because he wanted to go to the grocery store. He wanted to stay home by himself, I think. I think that's the story. But he somehow got freaked out and chose to just stay on his head the entire time.
Right.
Now, the grocery store, literally, it's a suburb, so it's 5 minutes away.
Yeah, it was not even
We were going to be gone like 12 minutes.
Yeah.
And so he decided to just
stand on his head.
Stand on his head the entire time.
On the sofa.
On the sofa. The entire time we were gone. He had a major head rush once we came home. We're like, what? You guys are finally home?
I have no memory of you being gone, Mom.
Yeah. No kidding. You had all the blood rushed to your head. Aw, sweet memories.
Sweet, sweet. So we get back to the Queen's Gambit, though.
Yes.
And I can highly recommend it because of you, Julie.
Well, yeah, I'm going to highly recommend it, too.
There's not a lot of, like, car chases, you know, people jumping off of buildings, rappelling down. No.
No, it's great music, soft, sweet music.
Yeah.
Kind of a dark, not a lot of people didn't feel the need to turn lights on because, you know, they had to save energy.
Yeah.
But what it was is that I saw the idea that everybody should be happier than they were.
Yeah.
We should be more abundant than we actually were.
Yeah.
And what was going on is it was all a facade. The women were unhappy.
Yeah. It does show what really I think the women must have felt like.
Yeah.
Because women were smart.
Yes.
Educated.
Yes.
I mean, this one woman plays great piano.
Right.
I mean, talented, but yet we were delegated to just being these housewives, not even like homemakers. And so I can remember as a young girl being in our parish that there were women that would just go for 30 days into their rehab.
Right.
But we were in we were kind of like the poorest people in a rich parish.
Yeah.
So we weren't poor.
Right.
But we were, there was doctors and lawyers.
Right.
So their 30-day rehab was always at these really fine places where you'd go and they'd play tennis and you'd come back all
tan.
It was
a spa, hotel.
It was like a spa. Yeah. And that's what they did.
Yeah.
And you put all your attention into your church.
Yeah.
And into whatever.
Right.
You know. But never take the
really
limelight
cruel.
From your husband.
Well, it's that's exactly right. It is almost like geisha girls because they were, if I'm not mistaken, you know, culturally you're highly educated, well cultured, so that you can converse with your husband,
right.
But you take a subservient role.
Right.
How cruel is that to say for the first 20 years of your life, young lady, we're going to make you smart and you're going to learn how to play music.
Violin.
And you're going to look great and take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And then after that, you're worth nothing.
You better know how to serve tea.
Serve tea and serve it well. And you know, you're the one that takes care of your husband and your kids. And then nothing else is your responsibility. Mm-hmm. Like, well, I've just been kicking my husband's ass in school on all my math tests. Now
right.
I had to let him balance my checkbook.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's really, at that moment, you know, when my, like we talked about last week, 20 years earlier, my dad's mom never finished high school.
No.
I don't even know if she finished junior high.
Right.
Because her dad wanted them to just get married early, work on the farm, or be maids.
Right.
That was what her dad wanted. Right. You were supposed to be smart.
Yeah.
But
I was supposed to be either a secretary or
possibly a teacher,
which I could not even.
No, that was.
I had three brothers.
You had a fantasy of being a weather girl. You thought, like, that could be something I could do.
I could do that.
And then you got married, Dad. But yeah.
I could do the weather girl thing.
I know you could have. Yeah. And you could have done it well.
Yes.
You are a good pointer. And you look so cute with your.
In my area,
yeah.
To be a weather girl in St. Louis meant you would have your own talk show, local talk show eventually.
Yes. And because in St. Louis, they were the Cardinals, you had a redhead. You were a natural redhead.
A red bird, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you could have done that.
Yeah.
I'm sure in a different alternate reality.
I did.
You did.
Yeah.
And you had this amazing life. Amazing. I said you picked this life.
And now this one, I have an awesome life.
You do.
I do.
And we keep having an awesome life, you know. And there are times I'm thinking, oh, should we share this on the podcast? And I'm like, not yet. Not really sure this yet, this awesomeness yet. Let's give it some time to percolate. I've got a coffee grounds full of awesomeness percolating in my coffee maker.
Percolating, girlfriend.
Yeah. So that's what I think the queen, now Dax... Dad and I started watching it together because during the holiday that we took the week off, you were talking to your best bud, your best friend.
Every week we have a 3-hour long conversation.
Yeah. And you typically give me a list of everything you want to do done while this conversation. So you had given me a list of things to do for me and Dad.
Yeah.
And then I immediately told, as soon as the door closed and you're talking to your best bud and, I'll call her your second best bud because I'm your first best bud.
You're my first bud.
Yeah. I said, now just to let you know, Father, we have a list. We're going to get the list done, but we're going to work at twice as fast, but we're going to give ourselves about an hour and a half of our own time. Because how often do you and I sit? We're never home alone.
Yeah, together.
We're never home alone. I go, so you and I are going to sit down. And I go, why don't we, I have not watched this yet. Let's watch the Queen's Gambit.
Oh, it's so sweet to picture you and Daddy on the sofa.
And Elliot, the doggy, sitting next to us.
Yeah.
And so I think I had some chocolate covered almonds and my S. Pellegrino. We sat down because we wanted to have lunch with you after your conversation. And then about an hour after the first hour, I said, okay, now we have to rush through our list. He's like, oh, I get you. You know, but what I thought about this, only reason why I watched it was because of Netflix had been throwing it down my throat for recommend. Yeah. We recommend The Queen's Gambit.
Well, it's a Netflix original.
Yes. And then, so I watched the first episode with Normano and I effing just loved it. I love the fact that it feels so archetypal and iconic.
It absolutely is.
And the mental illness that no one addresses.
Right.
And so we can't ever feel like we can, you know.
And it's not a mental illness.
No.
It's a cultural illness.
It's a cultural illness. Yeah. But like the
curve. If you're talking about how the women are treated.
I'm talking about like initially like.
Or how the children were treated. The children.
Okay. I'm not throwing anything away. Okay. I'm not, you know, here, spoiler alert. Okay.
Stop it, Julie. Just stop it.
The girl's mom dies.
Right.
The first mom.
Right.
Okay. Because she goes to an orphanage, right? Mm-hmm. And she's a college professor. She's written math books. She's a smart woman.
Yes.
But she is, no man can control her, and she can't be controlled.
No.
And so they end up, she lives sometimes in a trailer in the middle of nowhere, which is interesting because I remember those days somewhere, I don't know when trailer parks occurred, but previously, if you were kind of like transient, some farmer would put a trailer on their property mm-hmm. and you could just go stay in it. I'm not even sure if it had power. Mm-hmm. You know, I really don't know.
Yeah. That's absolutely true.
Yeah. And especially if you lived in the South where you didn't need much heat, you just, it was like, well, I got a shed out there. You can stay out there.
Right.
I mean, I think that's the one thing I told Mom. I said, what you realize is that people who were poor back then, it's different than people who are poor now.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, everybody I know has a cell phone. We may not have a lot of, you know, people, even like young kids.
Right.
They don't have a lot of money, you know, but they'll have a cell phone with the world in their hand.
Right.
And they'll always make their $100 cell bill.
Yeah.
You know, but back then, you know, she's like, I'll give you an allowance. It's 40 cents a week. Like 40 cents a week.
That's because they got $80 a month to have her.
Oh, that's right. Because she was an orphanage and like a foster parent.
Right. So they were going to give her $1.60 out of that $80 a month.
And so for me, this show represents all the potential women had that was just, you know, you were still, it was like, I look at this and the way I see it is like all these women had all this potential was fostered. The potential was fostered in a lot of them.
Yeah.
Only to be shinier objects for men.
Right.
Now, it's not hitting your face. It's not hitting your face.
Do you recall, though, when Jolene asks Elizabeth, what was the last words because your mama died in a car accident.
Yes.
What was the last words your mama said? And she says, I don't remember, but she absolutely remembers.
Right.
And you remember what it
was? Yeah, I'm going to cry about it.
She says,
don't look away.
Close your eyes.
Close your eyes, because I'm gonna kill us right now.
Kill us,
yeah.
So it's not like they died in a car. You know, it's not like she died in a car accident.
No, she didn't. And they don't overtly tell you that she killed. But
that's the way they handle it, which I like.
I like it too.
Yeah,
and it wasn't a big deal.
No,
it was like, you know, this is just how it was. Yeah. You know, and so forth. But
weren't you worried at that one time where she was playing that genius chess guy?
Yeah,
and I don't know if she thought he was handsome or whatever.
Yeah.
And you thought, is she going to throw the game?
I did think that.
Yeah.
I totally
thought
that.
Because there have been times that I have, when I was younger, if I liked a guy.
You'd throw the game.
I'd throw the game.
I have had those thoughts as well.
Yeah.
Or even now
I'm sure
as an
you're
adult.
Always throwing the game. It's like...
Well, there are times I do think about that. Yeah, I'm like, I'll have this
We do this too. We both go, oh, let's just let it be. This isn't worth it.
Yeah.
Let him have the win.
I thought for sure, and she didn't. I'm like, I was proud of her at that moment.
Yeah, I was so proud of her.
I don't know if it's based on a true story. I'm sure it's not. But it's just.
It could be.
It could be an amalgam.
Yeah.
An amalgam of people's real lives, because it feels.
It could be an amalgam of my life.
I know it could be.
Yeah.
Like I said, when I first saw the little girl in the orphanage, pass her test, be the first one to get an A, to ace her test.
Yeah.
And the teacher gave her two erasers to go clean. I'm like,
Mama,
was that in a teacher's handbook?
Yeah.
You know,
if a girl is too smart,
yeah, give her erasers to clean.
Keep her out of that class.
I can't
understand. So she doesn't get too far ahead.
Exactly. Yeah. It is bizarre to me.
Yeah.
And I think to myself, we've come a long way, baby.
Yeah. I have the great life now.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a genius.
Ah, so am I, right?
How funny.
What we do is we have just as much of an opportunity to fuck things up.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
As men do.
Yeah. And
yes, power to the people. Because that's the one thing I think of now as I look at my life.
Is that we fuck everything up now.
Well, yeah. Like, yeah. I go, life's just life.
Yeah.
You know, I take a complete responsibility for everything that happens in my life.
Right.
And sometimes that responsibility feels really heavy. Yeah. And you're just like, maybe I can blame it on somebody.
Well, it's interesting because I think parents nowadays, they try to protect their children from everything.
Right.
Everything.
Right.
And so there's just this rosy Disney world in some sense. You know?
Yeah.
And they never see anything bad or whatever.
Yeah.
And then what happens then? Does it? Can you do it forever?
Well, I think a lot of this stuff is because
you can. I mean, like you can send them to all the right schools. They can go to the right universities.
But in the
they
right
can have
schools,
all
the right
experiences.
Yeah.
You know, and even if they get in trouble, money can take them out of it. You know, as we saw with all these stars and their kids and the colleges.
Yeah.
I mean, at what point? Because you told me last night we were watching The Osbournes Want to Believe.
Yes.
You know? And I said, well, what's happening with Kelly Osbourne? Because we saw the other Osbourne boy, he's into the paranormal.
Right.
And I said, is there any other children? And you went, there's a third.
Yeah.
But she wants nothing of the fame
of
the Osbournes. And she wants to make it on her own. And I said, well, what's her name? We go, well,
I
don't
have no
know.
Idea.
We haven't heard of her. She's trying to make it on her own. Well, good luck.
Good luck.
Good luck.
That? Maybe that was the right course.
You know, that's not the right course.
Yeah. So you go like, oh, okay, we get you. You know.
Yeah.
Trying to make it on
Who
your
are
own.
You again? Oh no, I don't know. No, I don't know you.
I think in this
you're
world,
not riding anybody's coattails.
Yeah, I think in this world where there's Hulu and Netflix and Apple and Amazon Prime and just 1,000 other different streaming places.
Yeah.
And there's so much content. You said, I wonder if she's even doing things. I'm like, no, I've seen her in commercials do stuff. Like she actually did a little bit with her brother, Kelly Osbourne, with her brother. And so I think that there are people who are working continuously.
Right.
We may never, never know.
Well, I understand because like people like that get canceled,
yeah,
and they lose these huge. This one girl, we didn't even know her, but she made like $200,000 a month
on TikTok.
But something with a clothesline or something.
Oh, right.
You know, that said, hey, if you just promote this in your TikTok stuff,
right,
you get this much money.
Yeah.
You know, and like so, there are avenues that we as normal humans that were raised not in this generation.
Right.
Can't even understand.
No.
Can't even begin to understand.
Right. And sometimes I go back and I'm going, I need to embrace this more. I think it would be beneficial.
But are we too late to the game?
No, we're not too. Why you say that and I think that's not true.
No.
Because you said that 5 years ago before TikTok.
Yeah, TikTok.
TikTok. There are people coming up on them all the time.
Yeah. Well, we were watching last night. Because we love the Masked Singer, but we can't stand it with commercials. We see an hour show in maybe 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And we see the guy get unmasked. And,
yes.
And it was Paul Anka, by the way.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. Who is 79 years old and looked great.
With a 14-year-old kid.
Yeah, looked great.
Yeah.
What was I going? Was I going with this? With the Masked Singer? I have no recollection.
I don't know if
now.
They could edit that, some of that stuff out.
Yeah. Maybe it was about that, but I don't know. What was it about?
I know, but he looked good. Yeah. I thought it was great. And he's a guy that was from your generation. I mean, like, he's older than you, of course. But, you
that
know.
Wasn't my point at all, though, when I was trying to think about
I don't tell
I was going to make some kind of. Boy, that's not good when that happens. Oops.
When you lose your thought. I call it, I know, I'm sorry people were coughing so much. Yeah, sorry. I don't know why. It's just
dry in the house.
It is dry in the house. And we feel fine. We really do.
Oh, yeah, we're fine.
Yeah. It's just posing the drip. Yeah. It just is what it is. What are you going to do about it? So going back then to the Queen's Gambit, after I saw the first episode a week later, I heard Dax talk about it. And
you mean Dak?
Yeah, Dak.
Dak.
What's his last name, by the way?
Shepherd.
Shepherd. Thank you. Yeah. And with a name like Dax, come on, that's a great last, great first name, right?
He's a guy that girls love and guys liked as well.
Yes.
That's hard to find.
I agree.
There are girls that girls love and guys love.
Right.
But it's rare to find.
I agree.
Because usually if a guy likes girls, girls hate that girl.
Right.
And usually if girls like a guy, guys hate the guy.
And that's
But Dax Shepherd is one of those guys that has a rockin' bod, a cute enough face.
Yep.
A great personality.
Yes.
That girls like.
Right, because he's so open with his addiction.
Yeah.
And
his feelings
and his hands in a 12-step program. Yeah. And most of us have been through a 12-step program somewhere down the line. Yeah. I mean, I know I mean, even if it was in a spiritual sense, you know, there's a lot of good things that happen.
Right.
Step four, you make amends.
Right.
Or like write down all your faults and then try and make amends. It's a whole process. I can't remember them all in the right area.
Right.
And
then once you do though, snap, you're fine.
Exactly.
Go on, be yourself.
He liked it, and then I didn't know why he liked it. But then after seeing more than one episode, I totally understand why he likes this show. It is completely about addictions.
Yes.
Not even realizing it. Yeah. Which is what I love about the show. It's not an addiction show.
Can I ask you a question about Jolene?
Yeah.
Do you think that she's having sex with the black guy?
Possibly.
That does that.
I don't know.
Issues
no.
the drugs?
We don't know. She is not in any other episode until later on, I don't think.
Oh, okay.
So the answer is we never know.
I have a feeling, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope not.
Yeah.
You know, but we don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch two episodes?
Yeah.
Okay.
I felt like, remember he goes, "Are you coming with me?" And she, the black guy says to her, and he takes her off.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you must have missed that.
Yeah.
And then you go, oh, I wonder if they're...
That could be.
Yeah.
Could be.
Because she gets extra tranks.
Yes, she does.
Yeah. And she gets cigarettes.
Yes. So there you go.
Yeah.
So once again...
There you go.
You got to... They don't hit us over the head with
No.
But like in jail... where these girls get their cigs and tranks.
What does Queen Latifah say? It's she sings in Chicago.
Yes, in Chicago.
What's the word?
If you...
Not retribution.
No. If you wash my back, I'll wash yours.
Yeah, but she has a word for it. The song is.
Yeah. I don't know. If we heard the song, we could sing
it. Yeah.
And it's funny because when you said Queen Latifah in Chicago, my immediate thing is to stick my chest out farther because like she's all boobalicious in that movie.
Yes.
And more so, I mean, it's so extremely boobalicious compared to Renee Zellweger. They're just like, oh, this is night and day.
Yeah. Then you see.
Then you see. And I'm like, I'm more on the Queen Latifah side, which I'm like, work those girls. Make them work for you.
You bet.
You know.
So, we're just in love with the Queen's Gambit right now.
I said we give it 5 stars.
Yeah.
So far. Yeah. I heard in passing someone talking about a full-time gig at Netflix as a Netflix watcher. And I'm like, is that really true?
Is that possible?
And I'm like, I need to look
into
that.
Are you kidding me?
Because would that turn you then off on watching Netflix?
That would, well, you know, I am contrarian.
You are.
If someone would have to say, now, girl, sit down and watch Netflix, I'm like, I don't want to watch Netflix.
I don't want to. You'll be like, Julie, I got 8 episodes to watch and watch a review. Can you watch them for me?
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
But well, I'll tell you what the best show is that you, if you want to leave a show on overnight to have something sweet on in the background, a little light, it's Netflix's The Baking Show.
Yes.
The British Baking Show.
Yes.
Christmas
edition.
Now,
I don't understand, but when you watch it on Roku, Netflix, which is what you do. You watch off of Roku.
Mm-hmm.
Yours just streams the whole night.
Right.
But if I watch mine off of Dish, Like within an episode or two, it always says, do you want to continue watching Netflix?
Oh, well, mine does that as well. Sometimes. Does it? Sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if I fall asleep watching it, you know,
it
doesn't say anything. Yeah. Either I'll have missed 12 episodes. I mean, I think it's funny because I've been watching The Shield.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
which yeah. I'm effing enjoying as well.
Yeah, I love it.
And so much so, it is so hard to watch regular TV.
Yeah.
It is bizarre.
I cannot, if I, please God, let Medicare enrollment be over soon, because everything I watch that is commercial based,
yes,
the only commercials they play are for Medicare enrollment and different meds for
yeah.
either some kind of psoriatic arthritis yeah. or some kind of, I don't know.
Right.
Crohn's disease. And you know, it's like, right. oh my God, that's the only things that have money now.
Right. And then you're like, what is going on?
With the world.
Yeah. And it's a push. And then you think, okay, is this what's happening? And am I this? So they're thinking that the people who are watching celestial TV.
Yes.
Are yes. people who are over
did
the
you call it celestial?
Yeah, I don't know why.
That's like angelic, right?
I know. What's terrestrial? That's okay. it. not celestial. So
the only people who are watching celestial TV are dead, Joey. You've gone to that great TV in the sky.
Exactly.
Where
exactly.
Roseanne plays 24/7.
Well, it was funny because I don't want to bring people down, but yeah. we're talking about editing. And I have been really focusing on my program, you know, like because my knee's been hurting a lot.
Oh, I get what you're going for.
Okay.
An anagram of edit is?
I don't know.
Diet.
Oh my God. Oh, you're so smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. I'm sorry, girlfriend. They had to make you, they made you clean the erasers. You can clean my erasers anytime.
Right.
So you're right. Editing and diet, they're
very similar.
Very similar. Yeah. And so I came in today and I said,
Satan?
Yeah.
Santa? If we're going to go there.
If we're going to head down this path. Yeah. That's right.
Ho, ho, ho.
Yeah.
Said Satan.
And so I said to you, I go, like, I'm just so, like, I'm really working at it, you know, and I'm like, nothing is moving off of me.
Right.
I'm like, what the heck? And then the little demon voices in your head going, well, if I just let it all go, will I stay where I'm at? Yeah. And like, probably not.
Well, Jill, remember that one girl who was like, she's trying to find herself in
this. We're listening to Dan Savage, is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yes. Dan Savage.
Savage
and she
Lovecast.
Said, I am just trying to find love for my body.
Yeah.
So I decided to forgo any kind of diets.
Right.
For a year.
I just.
And I've gained 150 pounds.
Yes.
But I'm loving myself.
But I'm loving myself. And my boyfriend's okay with this. And yeah. I'm like, great.
So that's what happens if you...
If you're a person who has that kind of...
Metabolism.
Yeah, proclivity. That's what often happens.
Yeah.
And I felt so bad for her.
Yeah.
But I understood because at some point you wanted to throw it all away. Like, what if I just ate what I wanted?
Yeah.
And didn't eat what I didn't want?
Yeah.
You know, just didn't, you know, just let it be.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, this is what my body does to me.
But here is... I'm going to add this, okay?
Okay.
Because this is what I kind of know now.
Okay.
When you say, I'm just going to eat what I want, there's a little thing called that we think we have free will.
Right. Right. That's true.
But we really don't.
No.
Are you making the decision or is it your brain making
right.
that decision? Because your brain is all screwed up.
Right.
Because it's either through the chemistry and something is being thrown off. And now it craving sugar.
Right.
And is it you that wants that, you know, whoopie pie or the...
Whoopie pie. Okay.
Since we're talking 50s.
Yeah, exactly. No, you're right, though, because you've got three different brains. You've got your stomach brain with its,
yes.
you know, with its hormones out of whack,
right.
most likely, if you've been engaging in just a little bit, even just a little bit more sugar than usual, all of a sudden your stomach's out of whack.
Yeah.
Your brain is not now getting it's not feeding off of fat, which it loves. It's
right.
using glucose.
Right.
And it's now
craving more and more. Your body will protect your brain at any cost.
100%.
Yeah.
And then the next thing is you might be – everything around you is programming you to consume
right.
food.
Yeah.
Everything.
You're being programmed 24/7.
Yeah, we live near a small town of like 6,000 people. I mean, one of the small towns. Maybe it's a little more. Oregon. How many people live in Oregon?
Yeah, I think that's about right.
Okay. They have 5 bakeries.
Yeah.
Like 5 bakeries. Right. And they're all cute little things.
Darling.
Yeah. And you're going, well, how is this possible? You know? And I haven't tried it, but I want to try them.
Yeah.
You know, you're just like, oh my God.
Because your eyes see that and you're programmed for like, oh, because you see all these donuts or whatever, and it represents happiness.
Yes.
Good time. Being 100%. Relaxed.
Yeah.
Or feeling... But and here's another thing, too. Like, if you have something like that, then your body goes this way. I need protein now.
Yes, exactly. And so where I'm at right now is, like, having some good days in front behind me. And, like, not – you want to see a little bit of a needle move, you know, real
– Yeah.
And you're like, what the hell? And then you're going, okay, Julie, take real stock. Real stock. Are you having some more almonds than you should? Because maybe at this level of this age – really, all those things need to be edited out to a point where you're going, okay, this is it. This is it. This
so you're editing your diet.
I am editing my diet without feeling bad or negative. This is just where I'm at.
Yeah.
Because I certainly don't want to, I would love to say let it all go if I knew I could just maintain this weight. But I don't want to be, I don't want a year and a half go by going, holy cow, I'm not sure this year and a half of just letting it all go made me happier.
Also, two people can no longer say it's COVID.
Yes, exactly.
Everybody would go like, oh, it's the COVID-25.
Yeah.
At first it was a COVID-20, and then I heard it's a COVID-25. Pretty soon it'll be a COVID-50.
Exactly, it's a COVID-50. Because nothing – well, it is weird because Doug and I used to have a little bit more of a active lifestyle together.
Yeah, I used to go to Planet Fitness together.
Yeah, Planet Fitness, and we used to go to the movies. We used to have friends we'd go see.
Yeah.
And now it's – nothing.
It's just me and you, girl.
Yeah. And, you know, and when I'm with Doug, we're like, well, let's go get dinner.
And he goes, only if you pay, Julie.
This is true. This is true. Well, I get, you know, do you know why I pay right now?
Yes. Yes.
So just at the time being, I'm paying more.
Right, right.
So that's just the rules at the moment.
So here's another thing I'm going to say real quick.
Okay, go for it.
The rising tide lifts all ships.
Yes. Okay, good. Yes. I love that phrase from, well, because in the first year of S.H.I.E.L.D., the rising tide is the anti-government organization that wants to mess. It's not really an organization. It's more like a group, like a terrorist group, but more like an anti-government group.
Right. But also what I'm saying, too, is
yes.
T-I-D-E.
Oh, my God. See, once again, I bow down to the genius that you are.
I'm just going
to
say
it,
girl.
I bow down to the genius that you are. Mm. Tide.
A rising tide lifts all ships.
So I want the tide. And, like, we tend to buy Tide to wash our clothes.
Oh, my God. OMFG.
Instead of being an edit,
like Daddy goes, Julie, what does OMFG mean? Oh my fucking God. I know, but what does OMFG mean? That's my joke.
That's your joke. It's a funny joke. I like it.
Thank you.
It's a good, you nailed it every single time. I every time you've said it this week, you've nailed it.
Nailed, lane, anal. That's a word.
So this is going to be my life for the next week, though, right?
A word. Okay.
You're going to take a word and you're going to mix them up like Boggle.
Yeah.
And
I'm going to mix them up, but I'm also going to make sure that you understand the archetypal psychology within the word embedded in it.
Right.
Because I'm okay, doing Jordan Peterson.
Yes. We have only about 5 minutes left of the show. Yeah. But I want to say
Gordon Peterson.
Yeah, Gordon Peterson. So we heard today... Jordan had a fresh podcast come out because what he's been doing is replaying his lectures as podcasts, which I'm fine with.
I am too.
Some of them are good. Some of them are, I'm like, I could go live without, but no big deal. But he did a fresh one where he's interviewing Carlton, I think, somebody. I don't know who it
Carlson,
was.
Carlson somebody.
Yeah. Interesting podcast, well enough. But what was interesting is that his daughter was discussing how he hasn't done a podcast in 2 years because he's had this real bad health condition called
ankylosis. I don't know.
It begins with an A.
Ankylosis.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
But what it is a side effect on being on antidepressants,
right?
For the most part,
yeah.
Where your body just can't stop moving,
yeah,
and it shakes uncontrollably, yeah. And can't stop moving.
Can't your feet want to keep moving? Your hands,
yes. Now, there's a part of me, I read the description of what this disease was because mm-hmm. she said it, and I'm like, what is that?
Because so she said horrible, terrible disease.
Yes. And so I looked it up, and yeah. It was like, I'm like, well, should I have these symptoms?
Julie and I go, well, we both had those restless legs.
Syndrome. Yeah. And I felt bad initially.
We did.
But then I thought, you know what? I do wonder because if, like, okay, like I probably could use my knees done, you know, to get my knees replaced. I probably could.
Yeah.
I probably could use a little surgery here and there.
Yeah.
But honestly, the idea of being 12 weeks off is not a possibility in my realm. It's just not a possibility.
Not in this family.
No. And so I don't get it done.
Yeah.
And I also don't feel the thoughts of like having an illness don't run rampant in my brain because guess what? I got to make the donuts in
you
the morning.
You can't.
You know, I can't. I got to get, you know, I got to get there. I get to get
you
to work.
Chop wood, carry water.
Yes. And so I do wonder on these, like if he had to go to work and take care of his family, first off, would his restless legs help him? Yeah. These legs got to go. They got to move. And I'm not
I know.
Making a light of a situation.
But I also said this. I added my thoughts on this is that Jordan is Canadian.
Yes.
And Canadians have a very different philosophy on this kind of stuff.
They do.
They're like, oh my God, I have restless leg syndrome. I must take 2 years off.
Right.
Because they can.
Because they can. It's a different kind of aspect.
Because they have Canadian healthcare.
Yeah. Exactly. That you don't lose if you don't have a job.
If you don't, that's right. They still pay you to do stuff.
Yeah.
Even if. Yeah.
Yeah. It's wild.
It's totally different.
It's totally different philosophy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, but then at the end of your life, do you go, oh, okay, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Cause I do feel bad for my perspective sometimes because sometimes I think about Dad retiring fully and I'm like, well, what's he going to do all day but bug Mom? I go, he's going to bug literally the crap out of Mom.
He's going to bug Elliot too.
And I think, oh, you know, Manny needs to keep working a little bit.
Just part-time.
Part-time.
Just a little bit.
And I go, oh, who, what right do I have to tell him? I will take over. I will continue on the thing and so forth. But that's just kind of where we're at. So, but like I said, lately I've been hearing people taking off big gaps of time.
Yeah.
They just haven't felt well.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, you might feel better if you had to get out and have purpose
move around and stuff, get
going.
Yeah.
But here's the other thing. Because
we heard a long time ago, too, like this one, this was years ago, but we heard this doctor say, give everything 2 weeks.
Yes.
And everything you do, you give 2 weeks to it, you know.
And eventually it goes away.
Yeah.
I am dealing with a health issue, though, in my ears.
I know
it's been more than 2 weeks, and I have to take care of it.
I know.
And I said, Mom, whatever I do today, I must make an appointment.
Yeah.
Because now my hearing is being affected, and I'm like, ah.
And you got eagle ears.
I know.
Is that something?
Sure, why not?
Eagle eyes.
I used to have eagle eyes for the Lyme.
Who's the girl? What ears? What's the animal that has good ears?
I don't know. Bats. They have sonar.
Yeah.
I don't know if they hear.
Julie? Sorry, I peed a little bit. Just
did
like,
you pee a little
I
bit?
I can just picture you.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, girl, you got yours like a bat. You're like moving with sonar or like a whale. Crashing the shore.
Don't
talk about that. Don't talk.
Yeah, bring me down on the end of our show.
I'm sorry.
So, girlfriend, how was the show?
Oh, let's talk editing. Let's talk dieting. Let's talk the tide.
Yes.
It was great, Jules.
It was great.